Welcome to the Salem Baptist Church Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, worship team, especially you, Luke. Luke's filling in for Daniel. We film on Thursday, and yesterday, Wednesday, Daniel, Pastor Barkley, he had a heart attack, and rushed into the hospital, and he's doing okay. He's actually, this is Thursday afternoon we're filming, and he's actually on his way back home now. Super scary, super crazy, but God was looking out for him for sure, and I know that you guys will continue to pray. We thank you for your prayers for Pastor Barkley, and we know that you'll continue to pray for him and for Lauren as he recovers, and we look forward to the day when he's back with us, but if you're watching, Daniel, take it easy, get some rest, eat healthy, and we'll see you soon. So my family has a running joke that I always say goodbye twice, and I say goodbye twice because I always say goodbye to my family as I'm walking out the door, and then as I'm getting into my truck, I realize that I forgot something, so I have to come back inside, and when I have to come back inside, I get my second goodbye. It's to the point now where they don't even really say goodbye the first time. They just say, I'll see you in 1 or 2 minutes, and I come back in, and sure enough, they say, see, bye. Right, so it might be my wallet, it might be my computer charger, my office keys, whatever. Most of the time I figure it out before I get out of the driveway. Sometimes I figure it out that I'm missing something while I'm driving down the road. It's no big deal because it's just a quick turnaround and I'm back at the house. But sometimes I don't remember that I forgot something until I'm at work and I'm in the office and I'm happily working away. And that is just the absolute worst because I'm just going about the day, doing what I'm supposed to do, and in the back of my mind, you know, I got that feeling that something is missing. I have this sneaking suspicion that something is wrong, and sure enough, I get to a point in the day where I realize what it is. I'm missing something, and it messes up my whole day just because there's something missing. I think that a lot of us are like this in our lives. We go about our lives thinking that we have all that we need. We go about our lives thinking that everything is under control, but in the back of our mind, we know something, and we have this feeling, this sense almost, that something is missing. And we look around our lives, and we see that we have our jobs, and we have our homes, we have our grades, we have our kids' sports teams, we have our own sports teams that we cheer on Sunday afternoons. We have our Bible studies, and our book clubs, and our community cookouts, and our school groups. We have our mom's groups, and piano lessons, and bridge clubs and yards to tend to. It was always something to put in our phone calendar, something to carry around with us to remind us where we need to go. We look around and we think, what could possibly be missing? I have it all, but for some reason, something still isn't right. And so we try and do all sorts of things to figure out what that thing is that is missing. We look for other things to fill up our day and other things to fill up our time. We look for other things to do, not realizing that the thing that we are missing is probably the exact opposite of that, because the thing that we are missing in our lives is rest. Rest is something that we all like the idea of. We want it, but most of the time, we think that it is something that is unattainable. There are always things to juggle, always life to live, always a chance to do more and to accomplish more. We don't have time for it. Because if I slowed down in my life, people would pass me on the highway of life. They would stomp on me as they climbed the ladder of success. If I slowed down in my life and got some rest, I wouldn't be able to keep up with the Joneses. And I've always wondered, like, people with the last name Jones, like, how do they feel about that? Like, why does everybody compare themselves to me, right? It's just my name. Right, we say things like, I can't get rest because my family depends on me, and I need to continue to do those things in order to allow my family continue to depend on me. I got to take care of them. I can't rest. We say things like, we are going to rest when we are dead, so we're going to go, 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 pedal to the metal all the time. But what if I told you, though, that you were made to rest, and you were made to rest here in this life? Many of you would laugh and you would say, you don't know my life, you don't understand my schedule, you don't understand what's going on in my life. You would laugh and you'd say, well, tell that to my kids. Well, today we're going to look at what God did on the seventh day. We know that God created Adam and Eve to work. Even before the fall, that's the job that he gave them. He said, you're going to work. But what did Adam and Eve do on the very first full day that they were alive? We talked last week that Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day. Well, what happened on the seventh day, their first full day that they were alive? They rested. Very first day that Adam and Eve were alive, they rested. Maybe we have our priorities all out of whack. So today we're going to look at the example that we have of rest. We're going to look at the reason why we need to rest. We're going to look at the danger of not resting. And we're going to look at the solution to our restlessness. And hopefully, as we go about this time, we'll see why it's so important to find our rest ultimately in our good King Jesus. And maybe we might even find some practical ways to rest in this crazy world that we live in today. Before we read our passage, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, let's pray together. Father God, thank you for today. I thank you so much that you created us. I thank you so much that you gave us life. I thank you so much, Lord, that you gave our life meaning and purpose. And so, Lord, I just pray that today we would be able to find our rest in you. I know, Lord, there are so many people that are struggling with everything going on in the world right now. They're struggling keeping up with their schedules, their kids' schedules, their spouse's schedule. Lord, they're just struggling. And Lord, I pray that we'd be able to just take a moment and breathe today, that we'd be able to just see that you are good and you are our rest. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time. I pray that you would guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so our passage today is Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. This is what God's word says. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So a lot of people have a problem with the way that Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 is separated from Genesis chapter 1. I would be one of those people. The reason for that is Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 2:1 form an inclusio, right? An inclusio is a similar phrase that kind of brackets a particular chunk of scripture, a particular passage of scripture. So if you look at Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 2:1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. So these two verses, they go together and they bracket all of the creation account found in Genesis chapter 1. So they're very similar. They explain what happens in between the verses. And many people blame the guy who put the verses in the Bible. Did you know that when the Bible first came into being, there were not chapters and verses in the Bible? Did you know that? Well, now you do. Chapters didn't come around until about the 13th century, and verses didn't come around until about the 16th century. It was in the 1500s that a guy named Robert Estienne decided to put verses in the Bible, and the verses that he chose are the ones that we use today. And the story goes that he put these verses in the Bible while he was riding on horseback from one town to another visiting his family members. And so whenever you see like a verse that doesn't really like go well with the rest, you think, that should be there. Or like a weird verse break like we have right here. You just say, well, he must have been on his horse and he hit a bump and he mismarked a page, right? And so that's what a lot of people say. And I believe that this is one of those cases here. It's just a little Bible history humor for you today to get your day started. You're welcome. So verse 1, it might be with the rest of chapter 1, but 2 and 3 stand out because of the seventh day. The seventh day is definitely different from the rest of the days of creation. For instance, this day God does not speak. For 6 days he spoke and created, and on this day he didn't create. It says that God blessed, but it doesn't actually use his words, if you will. This day also does not have a day that it is paired up with. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago when we saw that Genesis day 1 and day 4 went together, day 2 and 5 and 3 and 6 together. But for 7 is all alone, all by itself. This day also doesn't have an end. I think we mentioned this briefly. This day doesn't have an end. Every other day has a morning and an evening and a conclusion. But the seventh day here, there is no conclusion. This one does not have an end. And finally, this day is blessed. And this day is set apart as holy. And by doing so, the Lord is going to give us an example of rest that we need to learn from today. So in our passage today, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says that God rested multiple times on the seventh day. And this verb here, rest, to rest, literally means he ceased from the created, from the creative activity. He ceased to create. God didn't rest because he was tired. Isaiah 40, 28 tells us that. He is the everlasting God who does not grow tired or weary. He did not rest because he was tired. Instead, he rested because the job was done. He had created, and it was very good, and because of that, he rested. You know that feeling of a job well done? You have turned in a paper that you worked hard on and you knew it was very good, or you worked all day in the yard on a Saturday and you realized that it was very good. You know that feeling? You finished a project at work, you poured your heart into it, and it was very good. It's this joyous and satisfying rest, knowing that a job is well done. This is kind of what God is doing here. He has created the heavens and the earth, and he just rests knowing that his work of creation is done. But this work is not a rest that is completely absent and void of work. This is actually a working rest. The question is, well, how can you have a working rest? Well, God is always at work. He's always at work around us. If God stopped working, the universe would implode on itself because God holds everything together by the power of his mighty hand. God is both the creator of the universe, but he's also the sustainer of the universe, the creator of life and the sustainer of life. Take a breath. That breath was God sustaining your life. That was literally a grace of God. So God rested from creating, but he did not rest from his sustaining work. This is what John 5:17 says. Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." So even though God rested from creation, he's still very active in creation. He's still working. He's always at work. He's sustaining life. This is one of the common graces of all humankind, that of God's grace sustaining the universe. From the sun rising to medical advancements, all of it can be attributed to God's common grace for all humans. So God rested from creating, but he's still at work in the world. He is always at work. And by resting on the seventh day, God gives humans an example that should be followed. Remember last week, we just talked about how man was created in the image of God. So God created them in his image, both male and female. He created them, right? So because we are image bearers of God, what we are supposed to do is reflect God's glory to the world around us. And an image bearer is someone who bears image to something, right? They act like the image of something. So if God is resting, we should follow that example. I mean, it says in Genesis 1:26 through 31, we're image bearers. And then the very next thing it says, this is what God did. So an image bearer does what they follow, what the image they're trying to bear image of. That was a lot of image and bears, but you understand what I'm saying. So if God is resting, we should follow that example. And man, we have so much trouble following examples of things, don't we? We have so much trouble. We hate instructions. We are stubborn people. I know that I am. I want to figure out things on my own to the point where I open up a box, I throw the instructions away, I try and figure it out on my own, and I slam and fight things until they work or I quit. Whichever comes first. We're like that a lot with the Bible. God tells us to pray, and he gives us an example on how to do that, but instead we take counsel with ourselves and others, and then we ask God to bless the work of our hands. God tells us to love our enemies and gives us an example of how to do that. I mean, Jesus literally died for his enemies on the cross. But instead of following that example, we push our enemies away because they think differently. God tells us how to handle conflict within the church and gives us the example on how to do that, but instead we gossip and we point fingers and we never deal with the situation head on. God tells us to rest, and he gives us an example on how to do that, but instead of following that example, we fill up our lives to the point where we have no margin for anything else. There's no room for anything or anyone. If Jesus were to walk in front of us, we'd say, "We ain't got time for that, because my schedule's too full." We miss out on so many opportunities to minister to others and to love others because there's no margin in our lives. Imagine how different life would be if we actually did what the Bible said. But why should we follow the example of God when God rested? Well, as mentioned before, one of the things that God did on the seventh day that was different than other days was he blessed it and he made it holy. He sanctified it. This was God's first act of consecrating something, setting it apart as devoted to him. In the Old Testament, consecration means designating or setting aside people, places, or things that are considered sacred based on their relationship to the holy God. So things like the firstborn, or the priest, or the tabernacle, or the temple, those types of things were set aside and devoted to the Lord. And when God blesses things, he blesses them to be fruitful. So when God blesses something, he blesses it so that it would fulfill the purpose for which it was intended for, right? So Adam and Eve, in last week when we looked at Genesis 1:26 through 31, and 1:28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply.'" God blessed them so that they would be fruitful and be able to do what God has commanded them to do. And the blessing came before the fall, and because the blessing came before the fall, when sin entered the world, they were still able to be fruitful and multiply, right? Same thing here. God blesses the seventh day, and he sets it apart as holy, and even after sin enters the world, he's still calling his people to rest. Here, God blesses the seventh day so it would be fruitful. How in the world can a day be fruitful? Claus Westerman says that God's blessing bestows on this special holy solemn day a power which makes it fruitful for human existence. The blessing gives the day, which is a day of rest, the power to stimulate, to animate, to enrich, and to give fullness to life. By resting in God and by honoring the Sabbath, we are able to actually enjoy and have the full appreciation for this life that we have. Later, Israel replaced the seventh day with the Sabbath, and it became the preeminent sign of God's covenant with his people. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 14 says this, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all,'" so above everything, above all, "'you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you.'" So by keeping the Sabbath, the Hebrew people were expressing their faith in the Creator God and the covenant-making Lord. This is the twofold meaning of the Sabbath. And if you look at the two mentions of the Ten Commandments, we kind of get a better picture of that. So the Ten Commandments mentioned twice in Scripture, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. And if you look at the fourth commandment, that's the one about the Sabbath, look at the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 and following. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates." Look at this in verse 11. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So in Exodus chapter 20, in the account of the Ten Commandments, right, Moses writes that we are to keep the Sabbath because God is a creator God. And it reminds us that he created the universe in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, right? But if you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you look at the Ten Commandments there, right? Starting in 5, let's go verse 12. It says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you." Right? So that sounds very familiar, very much like Exodus 20. But then look at verse 15. "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." All right? So in Exodus chapter 20, it says you keep the Sabbath because it reminds you that God is a creator God. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says, keep the Sabbath because it reminds you that God is a redeeming God. A redeeming God, right? So this is the point of the Sabbath. This is the point of the rest. This is the point of finding that rest in the Lord, to remember the great God who spoke the universe into existence, and also remember that that same great God is the one who saved his people. This is the point for us as well today, to remember that human life is not dependent on me and my endless work, but on God's provision and God's care for us. Sometimes people, when I have this conversation with them, they'll say that God wants me to rest, and then they go and play video games for hours, or go shopping, or sit down on the couch and watch football for an afternoon. I just need to wind down and relax because this is how I rest. I've been working hard all week, and now I just need to veg out. But once you do that, you've missed the point. Remember, the first day was rest, Adam and Eve, right? And then work, not the other way around. We go about life like it is the other way around. We say to ourselves, we just need to get through this week. And if I could just get through this week, then I can finally rest. But from the beginning, it has been we rest and then we work from our rest. Too many people are resting from work instead of working out of their work, their rest. The Sabbath was blessed to be fruitful. So when we find our rest in the Lord, it fills us up so that we can go out and serve him throughout the week. The TV and shopping and video games, it's not the active rest we are called to. As a matter of fact, it actually keeps us from resting in the Lord. And a lot of those times when we try and find our rest in other things, it points out something. It points out a very big danger that we all face, that of our idols. These things keep us from rest. Ezekiel is an awesome book in the Bible. If you never studied it, I would encourage you to do so. Ezekiel 20, the Lord confronts Israel for their continuing rebellion. And the Lord in chapter 20 points out all that he had done for the Hebrew people, right? And how they continued to rebel and they continued to go against God, but God continued to show mercy upon mercy upon mercy on these people. Finally, in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16, the Lord recalls their disobedience in the wilderness. And what he's talking about is when he led his people out of slavery in Egypt, and they followed Moses, and they were trying to find rest in the promised land. And God said, hey, just follow Moses. He's going to take you to the promised land. But instead, they rebelled, and they rebelled, and they rebelled. They kept on rebelling. And say, no, we don't want to find rest there. We're going to find rest in ourselves, and we're going to find rest in other things. As a matter of fact, why don't we just go back to Egypt? It's crazy what happens when people don't follow the person that God has placed in the position that he has placed them. So Ezekiel is going to point out that these people that Moses was writing to in the Pentateuch, by the way, he's going to point out this incredible thing. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 15 and 16, it says, moreover, this is the Lord speaking, moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land that I had given them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most glorious of all lands. And here's why. Here's why they were not able to enter into the rest. By the way, Hebrews chapter 3 speaks on this. It's really awesome. Go read Hebrews chapter 3. This is why they couldn't enter the promised land and enter the rest that God had in store for them. This is why, verse 16, because they rejected my rules and did not walk in my statutes, right? They didn't follow me. They didn't obey me. I gave them this way of life, and they said, we don't want it. And specifically, look at what he specifically mentioned, and profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. So God specifically, the only thing he mentions is the fact that they did not honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Instead, they said, no, we don't want anything to do with the Sabbath. They profaned the Lord's Sabbaths. The Lord had given this day to rest in him. The Lord had given this day for them to know that they had all that they needed in him. The Lord gave them this day for them to spend time with him, to enjoy him, to find meaning in life, to stimulate, animate, and enrich and find fullness in life in Christ, in God. And they didn't do that, though. Why did they not do that? Why did they not honor the Sabbath and keep it holy? Why didn't they not find rest in the Lord and run to him and him alone? The reason why is at the very end of 16, right? For their heart went after their idols. The reason why they didn't honor the Lord with this day is because their heart did not care for the Lord. Instead, their heart went to their idols. They said, I'm not going to find meaning in life with you, Lord. I'm going to find it in these other things. I'm going to find it in my job, in my relationships, in my stuff, in my kids' little league batting average, in my fantasy football team. I'm going to find it in my commitment to the church and my status. That's what our restlessness does. Our restlessness, it reveals our idols. So what do you do when you are afraid to spend time with the Lord? Where do you turn? What keeps you from resting in God? What keeps you from finding fullness in life from God and from God alone? Once you pinpoint those things, guess what? Those are your idols. Those are your idols. By not finding our rest in God, what happens is we forget Him. We forget that He is our Creator, and we forget that He's our Redeemer. Instead, we try and find fullness and joy in other things. We find our rest in broken cisterns that can't hold anything, like Jeremiah chapter 2 says. We are a lot like the people Moses was writing to. We're a lot like the people that Jeremiah and Ezekiel were describing. We are looking for everything, though we already have it right in front of us. Augustine says we are restless, says our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. Man, we are a bunch of restless people just looking for some peace, looking for some rest. And we go all these other places. And God says, hey, I've given you this day so that you can see who I am, so that you can understand that I'm the Creator God, that I'm the sustainer of all things, that I'm the Redeemer of all things. So stop running around and finding it in other places. We are restless, trying to find rest in our idols, but they don't satisfy. They leave us wanting. They do not bring fullness of life. Instead, they leave us empty and restless. But God is a good God, and He has come to smash those idols. He has offered us this incredibly awesome solution. So what is the solution? Remember when we started talking about Genesis about a month ago, I guess, we said that God created with the end in mind. To have the first verse of the Bible say, in the beginning, means that there is an end. So just like all of creation will be restored to the original purpose, even something like rest will be too. There's no evening on the seventh day in Scripture, which points to the idea that creation and all of humanity might have been intended to have perpetual rest provided by God. Of course, sin entered the world and messed that up. But God made a way for us to enter into His rest through His Son Jesus, a Sabbath rest that is eternal. This is what Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says. God's word says, therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they had heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. This is a beautiful thing. The author of Hebrews had just been talking about the Hebrew people who were wandering in the wilderness. And they were, and they say, hey, there's the promised land. Enter the rest of God. You can have it if you just follow Him and obey Him. You hear His voice. Don't harden your hearts. Listen to Him. Run after Him. And they said, nope, we don't want that. We want nothing to do with that. We want to do things our way. We want to chase after our own idols. And God said, well, you can't enter my rest then. You will not be able to find peace apart from me. You will not be able to find joy or comfort or life or meaning or anything apart from me. So then in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, the author says, hey, you guys, we still have that promise of entering that rest. But if we hear it, we can't be like them. We can't harden our hearts like they did. We had to humbly submit to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I want that rest. Give it to me. I need it desperately because this world, I've tried it all and it leaves me wanting. I only find purpose and meaning in you. What an awesome thing. So how do we enter that rest? We enter the rest by the work of Jesus on the cross. Just like God rested after He created, Jesus did the same thing after He offered His life as a ransom for ours, right? The Sabbath allows us to remember the Creator God and the Redeemer God. Well, after God creates, He rests. Well, look what Jesus did after He redeemed the whole world. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. You see that? Jesus redeems the world by raising from the dead. He pays the penalty for our sins. And as he's rising, he's resting, sitting on the throne. And even while he is resting, he's still actively at work. Just like God the Creator is still actively at work in the world, right, sustaining the world, Christ the Redeemer is still actively at work, interceding on our behalf, but he's doing it in a way that is full of rest because the work is done. It is finished. It is completed. And because he has finished the work, we can enter into the rest that God offers us. Just like the people of Moses, the people Moses was leading didn't reach the rest of the promised land. Those who don't call on Jesus will never experience true rest. The believer, however, has entered true rest, where peace and comfort and joy and love are found. The beautiful thing about this rest, by the way, is the more that we trust in the Lord, the more we're able to actually have rest. I get restless today. It's when I'm not trusting in the finished work of the cross. It's when I need to be reminded that Jesus is on the throne resting in the finished work of the cross, that he's interceding on my behalf. One day I will fully experience full ultimate rest and glory. But until then, I'm going to run after the rest that only Jesus can provide. And that's why Jesus can say things like he does in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and following. Our good King says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We can rest in him today and every day, no matter what we are going through, whether there's a worldwide pandemic, or we're struggling with virtual school, or having an argument with our in-laws, or we're having some conflict within the church. We can always find rest in him. One day we will experience the perpetual spring that God had in store from the beginning with his rest. But until then, we can still experience that day by day because Jesus Christ has finished it on the cross. Do you know that rest? Are you still restless? Have you found purpose and meaning in life? Are you resting in Christ or are you resting in your own work? Are you finding rest in Jesus or the things of this world, these worthless idols? Don't be like those people in the wilderness under Moses who heard and knew the truth, but they didn't obey. Be the person that knows the way to rest and responds. Now, we still need to rely on Jesus every day for our rest, but sometimes we forget. So I hope and pray that we'll be able to come up with some practical ways to remind us. I would encourage you to find some sort of rhythm in your life where you can find rest. A lot of people like to do the 1-1-1 rhythm, right? So 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, 1 week a year. They turn off the phone and they just rest in the Lord. They get away from all the distractions and they just rest in who God is. Maybe you just need to turn off the phone. I think one of the reasons why we can't rest in this world is because we are always connected to everything. We're the most connected people in the history of civilization, but the most disconnected as well. I don't understand how that works, but it's true. Maybe we should plug up our phone when we go to bed, but plug it up in the kitchen or the living room instead of right by our bed. So the last thing we do before we go to bed is not scroll through Twitter, and the first thing we do when we wake up is not to check our emails. What if we just said, hey, I'm going to take a couple of minutes and rest in the Lord before we go to bed and when we wake up? Maybe we need to open up the Bible a little bit more. We don't even know what to open up to. Man, God is trying to speak to you through this. Maybe you need to pray some of the Bible. Go find a psalm. You know, there you go. Let's find a psalm right now. All right, Psalm 45. My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. Well, Lord, my tongue is not like the pen of a ready scribe because I have no idea what to say to you often. So, Lord, I pray that you would give me words to speak to you through your psalms. Lord, thank you for the heart that you've made new in my life. Help it to overflow for you and for you alone. Lord, I pray that my life would be a pleasing theme to you, I thank you that you are my King, my righteous King, that you love me and you care for me. I thank you, Lord, that you are a good King, one who loves me and wants what's best for me. I thank you, Lord, that I can address my verses to you, that I can even speak to you. What an awesome thing, Lord. The God of creation wants to hear me. Psalm 45:1. Take some time to pray some psalms. Find a place that's special to you. Find a place that's just special, and just let that be between you and the Lord. Take 4 hours. What if you took 4 hours? Do you think you could take 4 hours and spend it with God? Even if you had to take a half day off work, you think you could take 4 hours? Right? Husbands, let your wife take 4 hours and just go spend 4 hours with the Lord. Wives, let your husband take 4 hours. Let him just go spend 4 hours with the Lord. It might take you an hour and a half just to clear your mind so you can even talk to God. That's why you need 4 hours. What if you just took 4 hours and just rested in the Lord? What if you did that? One of the things that we do by resting in God is we realize that he's the creator God. So why don't you get outside? Leave your phone at the house. Go for a walk. Get out in creation. Man, what if we did that? I hope and I pray that this week our church would find some rhythms to rest in God. And I pray that because we do that, we would be reminded that he is our creator God and he is our redeemer God. And because we are reminded of that, I pray that we would go out and make disciples this week. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. I thank you for the rest that you have given us through your son Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you gave us the example of how to rest. And I pray, Lord, that right now our church would rest in you, every single individual and the church as a whole. Lord, we thank you that you created us. We thank you, Lord, that you redeemed us. You gave us life. And Lord, I thank you that you've given us purpose. Help us to remember that purpose each and every day as we live for you. Lord, we love you. We give this week to you. Use us for the advancement of the gospel, for our good, and for your glory, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Salem Baptist Church podcast. For more information about Salem, please visit our website at salem-bc.org.